Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, Podcast Health, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1263B. The Bs are always wonderful guests. We have one today for you today. It is Nicolette Pace, who's a metabolic nutritionist with a lot of experience. And I'm going to let her describe what is coming in her life because she's starting a new facet of her life. But today we're going to talk about the GLP-1 drugs, both the pill form that has just been approved by the FDA, as well as the prior injectables. And both of the major ones concerning weight loss have just come down in price by 50%. I am your host, Dr. Mike Roizen. We're sponsored by, as usual, the people who make TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, LifesFirstNaturals.com, as well as Dye Rescue. Go to their website to see the randomized double-blind studies for both TruBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, and you can see a lot of anecdotal evidence on Dye Rescue and how it helps with the transition to higher doses, actually, of the GLP-1 drugs. That's Dye Rescue. The other sponsor is, of course, ForYoungevity.com. Try their coaching program for free at ForYoungevity.com. Nicolette, thank you for coming on. And how did you get in the field of dietetics or diet counseling?
Well, actually, it's a long tenure. I've actually been in five, now going on six industries. So I started in communications, worked all through all the networks, CBS and CNN. I was a reporter. I was assignment editor, did all the technical work. I also was in financial services. I was a registered representative. I had my own business. Also, I'm a chef, so I had a catering company. I also became a professor at CUNY and Toro Colleges. I've also continued my studies. I am a lifelong learner and went back into nutrition after a health scare and realized I really did not have a good handle on a lot of medical stuff. And not that I'm a control freak, but I felt very disenfranchised and disempowered. And when I went into the field, having a culinary background, I embarked on it. I didn't realize I had quite the scientific mind, so I actually ended up rising within my ranks, became director at a facility, and I tenured under six physicians who gave me like an apprenticeship. So I learned a lot of medicine, you know, pretty much equivalent to having gone to medical school because I did hands-on due to shortages and other types of things at the facility. So I do have a really good handle on a lot of different things. And I have always been a scientist through a great upbringing. I was raised by two teachers and a financial wizard. So as an only child, I got all the education thrown at me. And I continue to grow with it. I had a practice, Nutrisource Incorporated, which still exists, and we still do telemedicine, that type of stuff. But media is my mogul, and I enjoy doing it a tremendous amount. It has great impact. Patients come in one at a time, and they always say, I heard this, banana is bad, and this is bad, and I'm really much against it, and there's only so much you can do. I actually funded the practice because when they cut insurance reimbursement, it became just, it was hemorrhaging.
So tell us about the current interest in the GLP-1 drugs.
Well, I mean, it seems like the end all be all, and it's true. It's great that it's finally approved for clinical obesity. I'm also glad that they finally termed it properly as clinical obesity, and thanks for that. And now the FDA approval on the Ozempic, but it's not an injectable, so that it's less intimidating for folks, and it's just a pill, and as you mentioned earlier, definitely lower cost. And people say it takes away my appetite. And the mechanism, of course, as we know, it's made in the gut. It does slow gastric emptying, so it makes you feel fuller sooner. But many people don't realize it also does have the pancreas release or speeds up the first phase of the insulin response, which generally is the reason why we say take 15 to 20 minutes before you eat, before you feel full. This can push it all the way up to 5 minutes or 10 minutes even. So even the fastest of eaters can benefit from it, but you can still override it. Insulin response is pushed up to 5 to 10 minutes when you're eating instead of 15 to 20. And there's an ungodly amount of food that can be eaten in 20 minutes. Having attended the hot dog eating contest, we know what that's like. it's a good thing, but there's some other things to be had with it to make it work even better. I also like to know if there's a back end to this, or is it people supposed to be on this for the rest of their lives, as in like type 1 diabetes?
Well, we're on a lot of medicines for the rest of life. People are, such as blood pressure pills to control blood pressure. So that doesn't seem to me, if the cost is low enough,
not doing anything right,
and patients are doing resistance exercise, it seems to me that if someone adapts to it, those are the major risks, right? Or the major, what you might call costs, are they the actual cost as well as the, if you will, needs to do resistance training or weight bearing exercise?
Yes, absolutely. It's a very complicated obesity.
As you have shown in the brief I got, about 12% of the United States citizens have tried it at one time or another. Do we know how many have quit because of cost versus how many have quit because of a side effect they don't like?
I don't know the actual percentage, but I'm going to really guesstimate that it is a substantial amount. This is why we are making it much more affordable and making it easier to administer, with eliminating the needle phobia and so on and so forth. And also coupling it to, you know, we can control the internal factors, but these pills do not control the external factors. But there are programs and, of course, the guidance, as you mentioned, with resistance training and like either with telemedicine or counseling to help control the environmental triggers, you know, GLP-1 friendly foods, guidance on what to do at restaurants and the like. Same thing we've been doing with bariatric surgery. And these pills are like bariatric surgery without the surgery. Also for people who have regained weight after surgery, bariatric surgery, and, you know, they could be useful for helping to put it back in gear.
We should say that Nicolette has a website, Nicolette, N-I-C-O-L-E-T-T-E, Pace, P-A-C-E.com, where you can find out more about her. What's different about the pill versus the injectables? Has the pill been tested as long? Obviously, the injectables, Ozempic has been around since around 2012, I think it was, as an anti-diabetic medication. So we've got a fair bit of years of experience from it. But how long has the pill been tested? And do we know, does it have the same effects? Why is it taken so long to get a pill?
I think it has a lot to do with the definition of the rationale behind, you know, whether it's diabetes or obesity. And I think a lot has to do with the redefinition of obesity and turning it a clinical obesity. Prior to that, it was BMI, which didn't really indicate anything. Sometimes people were muscular and their BMI was substantial. But, you know, also from bariatric patients, they got very offended being told they were super morbidly obese. I mean, they were crying in the office. And it's very sad. So it's clinical obesity. It's true. It's an outcropping of illnesses that occur as a result of excess adipose and weight. As far as the oral, I mean, there was Rybelsus. That's kind of fading into the background at this point. But I think it's a few years. It's definitely shorter than the Ozempic. But this is all really new and up and coming. There was speculation going back about this up and coming thing about 10 years ago, which I was on top of, but it wasn't anywhere yet. There wasn't anything brought to market. And, of course, the future is doubling it and tripling it to other incretins so that, you know, we can really intensify the effect, increase the metabolic rate. These are the other drugs, not the GLP-1. It's a lot on the horizon.
There's a pill being developed by Eli Lilly, but the pill that got approved was Novo Nordisk's version of Ozempic. Is that correct?
Yes, Novo Nordisk. That's another player, yes.
And one of the things that I've been impressed with in the injectable form is that it decreases the cravings for not only food, but also for alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. And that is really fascinating because it is used in tremendous potential in addictive behaviors, alcohol, nicotine, opioids. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up.
And the other thing I've been impressed with is that it seems that people who have a reaction, a dysphoria to one of them, meaning if they have a dysphoria to semaglutide, it doesn't cross-react with tirzepatide, which is the Mounjaro and Zepbound. Is that true, or is my experience unusual?
The Mounjaro is actually one of the dual. That's the one that is actually, is a GIP.
It's GLP and GIP, right?
Right, that's the dual, one of the dual. Usually that's released after you eat by the K cells in the gut again. It binds and it stimulates to the other receptors in the pancreas. So this actually starts attacking insulin signals for release, but only in a glucose-dependent way. So it doesn't send out too much insulin like we have done with diabetes patients who weren't properly managed and they were taking upwards of, I've had patients with 300 units of Lantus a day, you know, and it just produced more and more weight gain. You know, they used to eat, but they're all the way through it and they end up with a Roux-en-Y or a sleeve or something. So you were saying is that the dual action actually coupled to that, it just gives it a double effect and has even tremendous, even greater amounts of weight loss.
Not only is more effective at weight loss, but seems to be better tolerated, at least in my patients.
And that would make sense because, you know, it's not just targeting one mechanism within you. Don't forget, the body's always trying to maintain homeostasis. So you've got a corresponding system fighting it or getting nauseous or things like that. So yes.
And do we know when, is there a pill version of that underway too? I assume Eli Lilly is not going to let Novo Nordisk have the full reign of...
They're staying one step ahead of them. And they actually, it's the Retatrutide, and that's the triple G. And that is now coupling it to glucagon. So that's the GCG, you got the GIP and the GLP-1. So those three Gs together are attacking every facet of metabolic load. With the glucagon, we usually are accustomed to using it, you know, in type 1 diabetes patients, you know, with hypoglycemia to stimulate liver release, et cetera. But this is, you know, it acts in synergy. All three together act in synergy to try and, you know, manage this whole thing. And weight loss is enhanced by just doing the one GLP-1. So, of course, once this comes out, everybody's going to want the best one. You know, you want the best model, and the price is down. I don't know what that's going to be on it. It's going into phase 3 trial right now, the Retatrutide. We just finished phase 2.
And so if it's starting the phase 3 trial now, is the FDA requiring a 2-year trial or a 6-month trial? Do we know?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's speculation. They probably are going to bump it up. I thought I saw something like you said 6. I'm not sure. It usually is 2. They're probably going to rush it. I'm very, very happy with the movement to try and... This is stuff I've been saying for decades. And I remember in a bariatric surgery class, group class, one of my patients, she said, the country isn't ready for you. And I laughed, and I'm not sure what that meant, but then I've heard it before. And it's stuff I've been looking at for 10, 20, 30 years, and it's all happening now. And I don't know what it is. I guess it's because I'm a scientist. I have a real curious mind, and I am also a behaviorist, most importantly. So I kind of look at things anthropologically, and look and see trends. I watch a lot. I see people where they shop, the way they eat, the way they socialize, how they speak. I'm very well versed in many cultures. I even taught my cat 2 languages, which you believe is trilingual. Who does that?
One of the things that we've seen is that younger people are using this, not just us old people. What's your feeling about that? Because they'll be on this for, you know, 60, 70 years.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought up was the endpoint. And I agree with what you said. You know, you're on something for et cetera. Like with bariatric patients and they had diabetes and they had the surgery and then they say, I'm cured of diabetes. And I would say, you still have it. You just aren't treating it differently. So there is thought, I have a thought that if you are doing it right, I mean, there's many behavioral programs that aim to try and form the habits that go with it. Some of them are just winging it with the pill and eating everything they usually eat and just relying on the pill as a sole modus operandi, as you say. So that's a concern. The other thing is with the younger folks, you're having these like bootleg doses, mini doses, with injectables, splitting the dose, having whatever's left to get the most out of the vial because it was costly. So you have those kind of things going on and, you know, a lot of stuff on social media and it's very dangerous. So those are some other concerns outside of just how long to be on it, but it could be dangerous.
The other thing that it looks like is not only does this stop obesity and its outward appearance, but it decreases heart disease, stroke, memory loss, joint disease, progression of lung disease, progression of kidney disease. So these look like they're a major breakthrough. I guess the one thing I don't know that I'm really interested in is, do you think the pill will be more effective than the injectable because of its greater acceptance? Or do you think it will be less acceptable because it doesn't get the medicine in as easily?
The acceptance will be higher because of the cost. and the lack of the, you know, needle phobia. However, due to the ease of use, it may not be taken as seriously, but I am very happy and tremendously in favor of putting it in the hands of the professionals who really belong with treating clinical obesity. And that was a big step in defining clinical obesity from all the chronic conditions that you've mentioned and the comorbidities that accompany it. That is a defining factor. And I hope that knocks out some of these ridiculous diets. And I know many registered dietitians and nutritionists at the top of their fields who are eager to really work it properly. But the public seems to think, and some of them do actually, talk about bananas and simple things like cereals, et cetera, and they really don't get into the heart of the matter. But like, as I said, I have a long tenure in all this stuff, and I got a tremendous mind to look at the why and the mechanism of actions, et cetera. So the acceptance will be there from the cost, but it may not be taken as seriously. But, you know, if there's a renewal for the prescription and they have to mandatory go in and see a professional, that'll kind of maybe bring it back home. I think that has to be coupled with it. If you leave people wander around themselves, who knows? Because even the fastest of eaters can eat through this thing. So it's got to be a multidisciplinary approach, and I think that would nail it. I feel it's a good thing.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate it. Just to remind everyone, our sponsors are LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Trubiotics, Bovine Colostrum, as well as Dye Rescue, and ForYoungevity.com. And thank you, our 50,000 people or so a week who download us. We couldn't do it without you, and you're the ones who motivate us. And Nicolette, thank you. It's NicoletteSpace.com. We'll be back next week. This has been 1263B. Do go to the A segments. The A segments are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means for you. Thanks again.